Hey everybody, this is Michael Engel. I just have to add a note to the beginning of this podcast. It was brought to our attention that some of the points we brought up regarding the upcoming free agent class was actually for the year after what we were talking about. So we're talking about the Bryce Harper class, Andrew McCutchen, and whatnot. Those guys are actually free agents after 2018 and not after 2017, which is it's a silly mistake, and it's one that we should have caught. But I don't think that the general point that we make in this podcast about the risks behind some of these guys and the risks that the Royals might be taking for contract extensions and the risks that the players themselves might be taking by not pursuing an extension more aggressively, I think it all still stands. I think you still kind of see Eric Hosmer as a guy who's going to leave. I don't think the Royals are going to pursue Elcides Escobar that strongly. I don't think they're going to go for Wade Davis. But I do think that Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain could potentially be guys who stick around and continue to be Royals because the market may or may not be there. There's still a lot of talent out there in 20 after 2017. Jay Bruce, Melvin Upton, some other outfield guys. You've still got Brett Lowry and Todd Frazier, I believe, is a free agent as well. So you end up in a situation where yeah, there's still guys. Trevor Plouffe is another free agent. So, another spot where there may be a crowded market for some of those guys. But still, regardless, it was a pretty silly mistake. But I think the general point still stands. I do want to assure you that those responsible have been sacked and replaced by llamas. So hopefully you get the Monty Python reference there. But we'll be back next week and we will do a better job of fact checking, I promise. That's a pretty silly mistake, but hey, nobody's perfect. Never claimed to be. Thanks for listening and go Royals.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. Have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. This is February 8th, 2016, and my name is Michael Engel. I usually don't introduce the show. That's usually done by Jeff Herr, but we have put Jeff Herr on paternity leave. So he is awaiting the birth of his first child with his wife.
Oh, that's good.
I hear that helps.
Yeah,
He's not
I
just
was
wandering through
concerned.
the halls of the hospital.
It's not Cameron's kid, is it?
No, I hope not. I hope not. That other voice you hear is Ben Nielsen. He has agreed to step in and help for this week to cover some Royals things so that we can give you guys a show. If you didn't hear last week, be sure to check it out. We talked to Jim Callis from MLB.com about Royals prospects. And that kind of bleeds into what we may talk about today. But before we get into our topic for this evening or whatever you're playing. And joining me in Jeff's place this week is Ben Nielsen, and you would probably recognize Ben from Walk Off Talk, which used to be on the Royals Podcast Network, until some
Rest in peace,
technical.
Audra.
Yeah. Who's still around? She just doesn't.
No, she is. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
That's good.
she
I was
is.
concerned. I just assumed
She
something
just
terrible happened.
doesn't podcast. And Ben's been on a number of different blogs and follows Kansas City sports very closely. And you can follow him on Twitter at Ben There Bro, Ben There Bro. If you've ever seen the BTB that people pop up. I usually don't tell people this, and I didn't tell Ben for probably 6 months. That's what BTB stands for. Been there, bro. So.
Yeah. It was all about me. It's always been about me.
It's pretty much, yeah.
This is Twitter has always been about Ben Nielsen. It's true.
That's when they set it up. Yeah. They're like, so are you in charge of doing the changes in the timeline and everything? Did you make that algorithm that's going to make everybody see things that Facebook thinks they want to see?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I think my whole goal really was just how can I take something like Twitter, which is in no way flawed, and make it flawed, you know? But whatever it is you do on Twitter, I don't know what you do on Twitter.
I don't know what you do on Twitter either. I just go on there and say nonsense, and sometimes people connect with it, I guess.
Somehow Twitter gets money because of it. It's weird. Computers are weird.
Yeah. Computers are weird, and they fight back. And
they do. I saw Ex Machina.
I didn't, but...
Yeah, you're not missing
out. I saw Rocky 3. Or not Rocky 3.
Rocky 10?
Superman 3.
Oh, Superman 3.
Same movie, really.
Yeah. Well, very, very, very similar.
Rocky 3, Superman 3, same difference. Mm-hmm. One of them had Mr. T, one had Richard Pryor. Same thing.
Yep.
Totally the same thing.
Yep.
But we're not here to talk about 80s movies, I don't think.
Why not?
I think Jeff and I probably went down that road before here and there. just randomly. Or Game of Thrones or something. I don't know. But we want to talk about the Royals, obviously, and kind of what lies ahead. We talked about prospects last week with Jim Callis, and a lot of what comes up with the prospects, Bubba Starling, Kyle Zimmer, Raul Mondesi, and the rest. The idea is that those guys may have to take over and fill some pretty big shoes. And that's because a number of key players from this year's team are going to be free agents after 2017. Like significant guys, Lorenzo
Cain, everybody,
like everybody almost. Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, Alcides Escobar, Mike Moustakas, Wade Davis. Those are the kind of the main names that come up. But I mean, other guys are going to be out there too. So we're kind of talking about big picture. You know, what's the Royals' approach going to be over the next couple of years when it comes to these players that are talented, have been a big part in the success, but will also be a pretty big financial commitment at a time where a lot of players will be leaving, necessitating guys like Bubba Starling and Chesler Cuthbert and et cetera, to step in. And so we're talking about which of these guys the Royals might try to retain, which guys are most likely to stick around, when pretty much whether or not we want to keep them around and kind of what that might look like. So I guess, Ben, just big picture, wide view, what do you see with this whole situation? It's basically right now we're looking at a window of 2016 and 2017. And after 2018, this team may look drastically different, like a lot of turnover. Probably half the team that we see today won't even be a major part of it in 2 years. So where do you see it going?
Yeah, well, right now the Royals thing is, like, I think it's, what, Alex Gordon, Soria, Salvi, and Ventura are the only guys under contract for 2018.
So and that's Ian, like, Kennedy, if he takes the – if he doesn't opt out.
Right, which – who knows what's going to happen then.
Yeah.
The way it's structured
looks like he'll take it, but who knows?
Yeah. So – you at least have those four guys, five guys, if Kennedy decides to stay. So you're looking at 4/5 of the roster that we have right now being gone, not under contract anyway. So you have that going on. But also at the same time, like, everybody in baseball is a free agent. This is just a list of some of the guys who are going to be free agents. You got Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, D. Gordon, Jason Hayward, assuming he opts out, which everybody assumes he will. Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen could be a free agent. AJ Pollock could be a free agent. Clayton Kershaw has an opt out. David Price has an opt out. Jose Fernandez is a free agent. Matt Harvey is a free agent. Dallas Keuchel is a free agent. Shelby Miller is a free agent. Craig Kimball is a free agent. Andrew Miller is a free agent. Everybody in the world is a free agent in 2018. So it puts the Royals in this strange place of like, okay, 4/5 of our team's going to be gone, but also appears that 4/5 of everybody's team is going to be gone. So you have this weird negotiating thing where it's like, okay, we could either take the risk of letting all these guys hit free agency, and then when all the dust settles, they don't have a contract, and now they've lost all their leverage and their negotiating power, which is sort of what happened to Alex Gordon, kind of, because nobody else was willing to spend money anymore, and everybody was talking about a $90, $100 million contract, and then he gets 72. That was in the Royals' price range. So, like, are you going to bank on that, or do you want to extend them and maybe overpay for a guy to stay if you think you can actually sign a guy? So I'm assuming what we're going to talk about today is just more of like, who are those guys who could actually stay, and what would that contract look like?
You know, I didn't even look at the free agent list, but what you say is pretty right on, that there's going to be, it's not just that Lorenzo Cain will be a free agent at that point. It's going to be that he's going to be in a market that's got Jason Hayward and McCutcheon in it. You know, MVP type guys, big profile guys, that
guys who are both younger than Cain.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess
guys who hit home runs and go on TV commercials. It's a complex deal.
And obviously, anytime you extend a player, there's some risk because you know, contracts, trades, everything is done based on what has happened, and past results don't always predict future performance in anything. You can get an idea, you can project, and you can have some sense that, okay, well, the Royals, when they signed Alex Gordon, they're like, well, we have a reasonable expectation of what Alex Gordon's going to give us over the next 4 years. And it's probably the same for the guys that you know, are the big names now, especially with guys like Moustakas and Hosmer, who the Royals scouted for the draft, you know, saw within their farm system, developed within their farm system, and pretty much every step of the way, they know pretty much everything that these guys have done and worked on and everything. So they have some information there, but you still don't know. You know, a couple of years ago, I remember, I think I wrote something, this is probably after 2011, would have to be given the take that I made on it, was that they really needed to work on signing Eric Hosmer to a really good extension. Well, you know, if they'd have done that, maybe things would have been different because he wouldn't have been pressing or something. But, you know, he came out in 2012 and didn't hit very well. He didn't have a very good season. And, you know, if they'd have signed him to an 8-year, $100 million contract that offseason, that would have looked ridiculous.
Right.
And you know, to this point, you know, Hosmer's been good. You know, he's been above average most of the time. But, you know, he's still not the guy that I think scouts and the Royals thought he was going to be. And as he gets older, you know, it's less likely that that ceiling is going to be reached. And so, you know, where do you stand to give him that kind of a deal where he's looking for almost superstar money? He's not really justifying it. And so for the Royals, it's risk. They have to put in a financial commitment to a guy that they're not sure is ever going to really live up to what it is. You know, maybe even Kansas City isn't a good place for him. He's got to weigh what Kansas City might offer versus what the other 29 teams could offer as a free agent. So it's almost like the Royals have to outbid right now if they want to do something like extend Eric Hosmer to keep him through what they would feel are his peak years. And if he doesn't reach that peak, then they're, you know, being a smaller market team, they're spending now, but, you know, there's no guarantee they're going to continue to do that, especially if the results on the field don't warrant spending. So no matter what the Royals do with any of these particular players, they're going to have to incur some kind of risk. So, Ben, in that regard, what is your general take on what the Royals should do? Should they target one or two guys they think they can keep, or should they even target anybody? Should they just see how it plays out on the market?
Well, it's a complex thing, as always. But I think you have to look at this. The history of Scott Boras is not to sign extensions. Yeah. It doesn't mean he hasn't. He's done it before, but that's not his history. Most guys end up going to free agency. So you got to think that a Hosmer or a Moose extension takes a big hit just on that cord. If I am Moose, I would have to think about it pretty hard. I mean, one, We've already named all these different people that are going to be free agents. Well, yeah. And look at third base alone. You have Machado and Donaldson.
Yeah. Like MVP winner and easily one of the most talented guys in Machado.
Yeah.
Moose, older than both, doesn't have the resume of either.
No. I mean, last year was his best year, and he was okay. I mean, he wasn't like lights out. Like, oh, here's the 30 home run Mike Moustakas guy that we all expected. Yeah. Like, I mean, he did what we needed him to do. He had the advancement that when he went the other way, he hit for better average just simply on the basis that he was willing to use the whole field. But he didn't necessarily have the power we were all kind of expecting still to show up, even though he did hit 22 home runs. It's just one of those things where you just kind of have to go, if I'm Moose and, you know, and I'm looking at what's happening in 2018, I'm kind of going, all right, maybe an extension, this is a good time for it. He still hasn't done the arbitration thing. He's the last one. We know that Dayton Moore hates going to arbitration. So you got to kind of think that maybe something could be working there. But I would think between Hosmer and Moose, Moose has the most gain by signing an extension now, whereas Hosmer maybe not so much. But if you look, you have that. Also, if I'm Lorenzo Cain, I don't know why he didn't go for an extension, and I don't know why he didn't ask for something a bit more reasonable than what he asked for. I mean, outfielders again, Jason Hayward, Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen, AJ Pollock, Michael Brantley, Adam Jones. I mean,
doesn't leave a lot of money out there.
No, that list was like maybe 20% as good this offseason, and Alex Gordon lost probably maybe $30 million from what everybody was sort of projecting before the offseason started. So, I mean, if I'm Cain and I just watched what happened to Gordon, and I'm looking at what everybody's talking about for 2018, I don't understand where it's like, well, hey, let's just go ahead and do this now and get it over with, which I guess is still a possibility. I mean, it's not like we're still 2 years out from all of this.
Yeah, they can always renegotiate any of them at any time. It's just once they get that deal, it's like, well, they usually want to stick with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I mean, there is a risk to it. I mean, Cain is an injury-prone guy. Moose doesn't have a resume, which we said earlier. I mean, like, are we counting on him hitting .284 again?
Yeah.
His OPS plus the last two seasons before this one was 77 and 75.
Yeah.
And he'd never been over 100 in his career until last year. Doesn't mean that he's 26, he's entering his prime, right? So, I mean, it doesn't mean that he can't, like, okay, that's the guy, Moose. He can be that guy. He can be that 800 OPS guy. He can hit you 25 home runs. He's going to give you good defense at third base. It's not to say that, oh, it's all panic about Moose. But, I mean, like, but when it comes into contract negotiations, they're going to look at that, like, right now and go, like, why would we give you a $70 million deal right now?
Because hey, he hasn't done anything. And maybe he goes on a tear the next couple years, but he could just as easily fade into obscurity and be like, hey, remember that guy?
Yeah,
he was supposed to be a pretty good guy, and then, you know, 28, he's floundering through, and who knows?
Well, Pedro Alvarez is kind of going through that. I mean, like, nobody wanted him, and he was supposed to be, like, this guy that, like, okay, he did it, you know? He hit 30 home runs in a season, was doing well with Pirates, and then all of a sudden, no, he's just sort of like, eh. That he's not terrible. Now he's just not that guy that everybody kind of covets, like everybody thought. He would be. And I would say one thing that Moose has going for him, though, is who do the Royals have in their system that you go, yep, that's the guy that takes over for Moose.
Yeah.
I mean, at least with Cain, you got, okay, we got Bubba Starling. You got Brett Eibner is an interesting guy, at least for a corner outfield spot. Yeah, if you're looking at, you know, we haven't talked about Eske yet, but if you're looking at Eske, you got the best prospect the Royals have is a shortstop in Raul Mondesi.
Yep.
But when you get over to Moose, I mean, like, are we really that confident in saying, you know, Chesler Cuthbert's that guy? You know, or do you move Christian Colon to third? I mean, is that really something that, you know, you're looking at with zeal there, the way that you're looking at maybe with a Starling or a Mondesi? No, not so much. So, I mean, that's probably the best thing that Moose has going for him in terms of negotiating with the Royals. But, man, I feel like there's a lot of money out there right now for him with the Royals in terms of an extension to leave that on the table, to take a risk of trying to feast with Machado and Donaldson.
Yeah, it seems like what I looked at for him, I was trying to look at like other contracts, and it's so hard to do that because the contracts go crazy every year.
And the, like, TV money and all that.
Yeah, and there's just so many other things that I don't know exactly how it's going to inflate later. But, you know, I just kind of looked at what Alex Gordon got after his, you know, after 2011. You know, yeah, he was an outfielder, but he was in a similar kind of spot, similar kind of age. Gordon had been better for the most part, and through, you know, after 2011, he was above average for the most part, had had his down seasons for sure. But
it was after his breakout year too, right? That he had his deal?
Right. Yeah, it was after that 2011, which is, you know, probably his best season to date. And so he got, you know, 4-year deal for $37 million. And I was just thinking Moose in relation to that, you know, has basically had worse bad years, and his good year wasn't as good. And so maybe something like that, maybe something that takes out two of his free agency years so that he doesn't have to compete with Josh Donaldson and Manny Machado for that third base market. So I'm not sure how that works out with, you know, the current rate and the going rate for a player. But if they were working on something right now to maybe try to extend Moose beyond what his free agency years are, I think you're right. It would be in his best interest to try to make something like that happen, because in 2 years, you know, he could still have another couple of bad seasons that limit his value. He doesn't want to be in that situation. Plus, you never know any of these guys if the compensation stays the same, which I don't know if the CBA is going to change it or not. I bet the players are going to want to try it. But if these guys get qualifying offers or anything, well, that's also going to be something where a team not only has to, you know, try to figure out how to pay a Mike Moustakas what he thinks he deserves as a free agent, they'll also maybe have to give up a draft pick. And, you know, maybe Moose isn't going to be a guy who's worth that, but, you know, you never know. I mean, it just seems like they're going to be behind it to where I think you're spot on in that Moose is the guy that's probably most likely to take an extension, because his value is probably the most fragile of all of these guys, especially in light of who else is out there. It's, you know, especially with that big of a free agent class and those big names, he seems like the guy who's left at the end, you know, when the music stops playing and you just kind of see what, you know, okay, well, we can give you this. Kind of like Irvin Santana a couple of years ago, where he had to take, you know, just a 1-year deal because it was there, and then kind of cashed in, but certainly didn't get what he thought he was going to get out of the last couple of years. Or James Shields, who still got a pretty good deal, but certainly not what he thought he was going to get.
And now they're thinking about trading him.
And now they're thinking about trading him because they were like, well, we got him, but now we don't know.
And it's kind of expensive. And Yeah,
and it's just like other, you know, the reason they're having trouble trading him is because other teams decided they didn't want him at that kind of money. And so it's just, it puts, you know, now the Padres are kind of stuck with that, and the Royals could end up in a similar situation where maybe they do bring in Moustakas and he's not good for a little bit and they can't do anything with him and they're stuck. But
yeah. And I mean, and we also, I think it's important, like Moose now has, you know, a model in Kane of a guy, like, I mean, like his we talk about Moose's value right now, like probably being best in negotiating an extension as opposed to trying to compete with the 2018 free agent class. I mean, there's Kane, man. Well, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, Howard, Harper, McCutcheon, Pollock, Brantley. No, I mean, I love Kane. Love Kane. But Kane's going to be like, what, 32 when he hits free agency?
Yeah.
31, 32. You know, Harper's going to be like, what, 19? I don't know.
Pretty much. Yeah. He's
like, still a kid. McCutcheon's young. Hayward's young. Like, what are you thinking, Kane? What are you thinking? And I could easily see a scenario where, especially if the Royals, I mean, like, man, you know that Hosmer's going to hit free agency. Like, that just seems like a lock. I mean, whether or not that's a good idea on his part, I mean, like, he's got 2 years to build a case, right? Yeah. And maybe you could see him being in that Machado Donaldson kind of conversation. But, and you know, when the loser of the Hayward or the Harper sweepstakes might go for, you know, a Hosmer type who's maybe projected to last a little bit longer in terms of values. I mean, that's possible when you look at his body, when you look at his injury history, when you look at his glove work. I could see that argument anyway, if he has good seasons the next 2 years. Yeah. So, I mean, you figure he's gone. So there's a draft pick there. I mean, when you know that you're probably going to get a draft pick for Hosmer if he leaves, what stops the Royals from offering Kane an arbitration contract, even if it's overpaying him, but it's for 1 year? And by that time, what, it's like $16 million, maybe? Is that a qualifying offer?
Yeah, it's I don't know what it's going to end up being, but it was like 15.7 this year. So in 2 years, it'd probably be about 16.5 or 17 or something.
Yeah. So I mean, a 1 year risk on Kane for the last year of his prime, and I mean, like, okay, it offered that and make him turn that down, because that's probably like Kane's best option at this point if he doesn't somehow find a way to continue, like, negotiate. Maybe and that's possible. I mean, maybe they're still negotiating and they just wanted to get this done before arbitration, so it's just over with. And then maybe something happens like in June. Who knows? But, man, it's just hard to look at what Kane did and be like, how in any way is how is that smart? And if Moose is looking at that situation and he's looking at Machado and he's looking at Donaldson and he's looking at his resume versus their resume, I don't know how he just doesn't go, you know what? I mean, I'm even having to just go insane the next 2 years to even be in that discussion, which I don't necessarily think that's in Moose. And
And even if he did go insane, it'd still be, well, he had, you know, three pretty good years.
Yeah.
And these guys had three fantastic years, like top of the league years. It's just like, it still doesn't compare when it comes down to it, because it's still, you know, if you put up 6 good years like Machado, probably will, and a bunch of good years like Donaldson, probably will. It still outweighs 3 good years for Moose, who I don't think anybody would project to ever be better than those guys. And so, it's money.
And Machado's going to be like 25. No, come on, Moose. I mean, financially smart here. Come on. I don't see how it isn't like the smart financial move for a guy like Kane and a guy like Moose to go into an extension. And that takes a lot of pressure off the Royals in terms of being able to go, like, okay, we could say goodbye to Hosmer, even though that's going to suck. But I mean, but at least you got something there. You're not trying to fill out, you're literally trying to fill out your entire roster is what we're looking at. But one good thing for the Royals too, that they had to play with, like, let's assume that Kennedy opts out. Let's just assume he stays. Let's assume he stays. Because, I mean, like, man, I don't know, let's name those pitchers again that are looking at free agency in 2018. Price, Kershaw, Fernandez, Harvey, Keuchel, Miller, Richards, Quintana.
Good luck, Ian Kennedy.
Have fun with that. I mean, I think that ends up being a very fair contract if you think about it. I mean, like, good luck trying to buy pitching in 2018. Those contracts are going to be outrageous. And So, I mean, I think $16 million for a guy who I think is going to end up being pretty good. I just like the setup there. I think that's a good signing for the Royals. That was a different podcast, probably. But you look at that and say, if you include the Royals only have $55 million locked up for 2018.
Yep. And a lot of the guys they probably have at that point are Mondesi at league minimum and Cuthbert around, still league minimum. If, assuming Moustakas doesn't find a way to stick around. And
we don't know if the Salvador Perez thing, what's going to go on with that in terms of if they just had to rework those options. So, I mean, the point is like, it's not like the Royals are in a position where, like, oh, man, like the Tigers, they have, like, $1 billion locked up for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
They got some financial flexibility there with the knowledge that, Mondesi is going to be there. Starling's going to be there on a rookie deal. You got some bullpen pieces like Flynn, and you got Kyle Zimmer that's going to be on a rookie deal probably. Hopefully he's going to be healthy and good.
Right.
So, you can look at the pieces like, okay, these are guys that we see being involved with the team in some sort of capacity, carrying some sort of weight, that are going to be cheap. And really what we're talking about is only a couple spots here where we got to fill, and they're going to have some money to play with. And they're also talking in 2018 of possibly having that being the time that the new TV deal kicks in if they decide to renegotiate. At the very least, you get that at the end of 2019, if I'm right. Is that, or am I wrong?
I think 2019 is the year for the Fox Sports KC.
Yeah,
deal.
But I mean, anyway, you go into that 2018 offseason knowing that TV...
new deals coming.
Soon, so you could structure some things being aware of that.
Right.
You've got money to spend. I mean, and by 2020, the Royals, outside of Ventura, who has an option, and have no dollars committed in 2021... And for the fun of it, I'm just going to look at see where Detroit is really quick here. Just
in 2021.
Yeah, you can go ahead and fill some things in while I'm typing.
They're going to have like still $60 million paying the
one guy.
the hollowed out husk of Justin Verlander and Ian Kinsler's right foot. That's what they're going to put up.
Watch it end up being like really low, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of surprising. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think they actually stopped paying Prince Fielder in like 2020. So like it's okay. So the money that they have like tied up for sure in 2021 is like $53 million, and that's what the Royals are in like 2018. I mean, they're gonna play Miguel Cabrera. $30 million in 2021, and he's going to be like 40 years old, I think.
Jeez.
Justin Upton's at like $22 million. They will have just gotten done with Jordan Zimmermann. They might have just gotten done with Justin Verlander. Like it's just insane, the money. They have $111 million racked up already for 2019. And they basically have the Royals' payroll guaranteed in 2019. That's a nasty job to have to figure out for that GM. But the Royals have some financial flexibility. They have some guys who really should have a desire to want an extension. They do have some pieces in the minors that make sense for filling some roles in some kind of capacity. And they have 2 years to work with.
Yeah.
With a lot of these guys. I mean, like, the team's pretty much set for the next 2 years with the exception of Morales and Volquez, right? Or or something. Yeah. So, man, I just don't I don't understand. And we haven't even talked about Eske. I mean, what do you think about Eske?
I think that by the time he's up, like, any extension would take hold. That's not going to be a guy they want to extend. I mean, he'll be 31. His bat's not going to get better. His defense can probably stay pretty okay, but there's going to be range questions starting to come up, and maybe his speed declines, and they already have the ready-made replacement who should hopefully be ready in 2018 to take over. So I don't know that Escobar is going to be really a guy that they're going to be pushing to do it, unless it's something that really, like, financially makes sense. His current deal is pretty small, really.
Yeah, it's very small.
I mean, it's just he's not getting paid that much. But he's also not an elite shortstop. He's, you know, very good defensively, but he's not really much offensively. He's passable, combined with, you know, what he gives you speed-wise, what he gives you defensively. He's okay. You can get by. And if he's hitting ninth for you, you're probably doing okay with your lineup. If he's hitting first or second for you, like legitimately hitting first or second, not like, right, oh, this is fun, we do this first or second, like Brad right. Yost does. Like,
right.
That's probably not, like, if he's a, like, you approach him as a legitimate table setter, which I guess the Royals do, but I they know that it shouldn't work.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what that extension looks like, because there's part of me, I mean, well, he'll be 30 at the end of 2017.
Yeah.
That's his age 30, so, I mean, he's got, like, you can say there's two more decent seasons there, at least, right?
Yeah.
And I do kind of wonder if it might be willing to pay a little bit and get the rest of that prime and just create some sort of an incubator for Mondesi.
So in terms of, like, to be the guy.
Some sort of transition. I don't. It's probably may not be out of the question. Mondesi's a starting second baseman by June. I mean, if they're willing to bring him up for the World Series, I mean, there's obviously some sort of an advanced idea that the Royals have with him. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Royals' second base situation as is, I mean, do you want Infante starting? I mean, I understand the money aspect of it, but I mean, like,
right.
It's about winning. This is the window. You win now, or you don't play this guy every day at second base, unless you think, like, he's going to be good. I don't know if Colon's an everyday guy, and then if you put Colon at second base, then who's your utility guy? You've lost that. It would make sense for maybe Mondesi in June or July at second base if Infante is doing Infante things again.
So, I like that, doing Infante things.
Right. So, I mean, like, it may make sense, or given how cheap he's going to be, to have him there at second base and have that combination for 4 years. And then once Mondesi's hitting his prime, then Escobar moves away, you move Mondesi to short, and then that also buys you time to actually develop a good second baseman in your minors. I don't know. I could see that argument. I don't know if I necessarily believe that argument, but I just don't know. Again, you're back in the same place of, like, who plays second base?
Yeah.
And we still haven't figured that out.
They've never figured that out. They've been fighting that. They had ever
the
since
the entire Dayton Moore tenure. Second base has been a black hole of abysmal.
Pretty much. They thought they had it figured out with Infante. I thought they had it figured out with Infante.
I agree.
I thought he was going to be good, and he has not been good. I think with Esky, it probably comes down to the money. Like, if it's something where it's like $5 or $6 million, yeah, you can definitely do that. To just keep him around a couple years. You can absolutely do that. I don't think he would get anything close to what, you know, Andrelton Simmons a couple years ago got, 7-year deal as an extension that's going to pay him till he's 31. We've got $58 million for that.
Right.
Escobar's not getting that. You know, that's not going to be happening. But I think you could probably see something where they pay him, like, what's he making for 2016? About $5 million, and I think
four and a half or something,
like $6 million for 2017. So I mean, you could maybe see something where they keep those numbers and they add two more $6 million, $7 million seasons or something. And I think then you're probably okay. I mean, it works out to probably about You're paying him to be a one win above replacement guy, which he can easily meet just defensively.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I mean, you're okay with that, and I think I'd be okay with that too. I think he's probably the second most likely to do an extension too.
Right.
But I don't think they want to go too deep with him just because there is Mondesi there. They don't want to be paying Escobar to do a job that they have a guy making league minimum who could probably do the job better at that point. But
yeah, I mean, if you do another one of those mutual option deals where you get 2 years, you get the last 2 years of his prime, and then you could throw in a mutual option for his age 33 year that no one's ever going to agree, but you're paying that guy just to say, not play for me.
And it's a way to defer the money so that you can give him a bigger contract, but it's not necessarily in your payroll. And you're also like, well, okay, well, we get a way to get away from you too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
that everybody's okay with. I'm like, okay, you want to give me money and then I'm going to go sign it. And something else to consider too. I mean, it might make sense at least do a 1 year thing. I mean, like, okay, Machado was originally a shortstop.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. Also, Jose Iglesias is a free agent that year. Much younger than Escobar. D. Gordon is a middle. He's a second baseman though, but I mean like, but maybe you got a situation too with Escobar where he's aging, and so maybe that a second base shift might make more sense for some people. But I mean, those guys are also free agents in 2018, which is something like, man, that whole class is so obnoxious. But I mean, he's another guy who has to think of like, you know, I'm gonna be 30 years old, 31 years old, going in with guys who are going to be in their mid to late 20s who can hit better than I can.
Right.
Who are about my level defensively, if maybe they're a tick behind. But, why not just stay, you know, where I know, you know, I can be successful? And that's another thing to also play into all this. I mean, these guys have been playing with each other for forever. You know, why if you can add two more years onto this window that they think they're going to be really good and just then why not? Why not just say like, hey, no, let's just all re-up for a couple more years and then maybe be more likely to make more money in free agency because there's nobody left in free agency because they all got signed in 2018. I don't know. There's an aspect of that to me that it would make sense, but I think the most sense, really, honestly, at this point, has to be Moose.
He has the most incentive to take something and the biggest disincentive to try to go and compete in the market because he's not going to make. Well, I mean, he's not going to shoot for Donaldson money, but he's not going to, you know, even come close.
Right. Well, and then you also have the issue of like. You know, when Donaldson signs and Machado signs and all these other guys sign and you finally get to, okay, Moose is definitively the next best player, is there a position open for you?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened with Gordon. I mean, you know, well, okay, the Cubs signed, got their outfielder, and then, you know, other people got their outfielder. So now we got three good outfielders. Yeah, they're good players. They're valuable players. But nobody has an outfield spot open, at least not at your price range.
Yeah.
And so what happens? Cespedes ends up going back to the Mets. Gordon goes back to the Royals. And then Upton, for some reason, goes to the Tigers. I didn't understand that. But, like, but I mean, that's, you know, that's another thing that he has to take into account is, you know, there's also a numbers game in terms of positions available. And then if you have to turn around and go like, hey, there's no positions available for me and I still want a big contract, but you have to turn around and go back to the Royals and be like, hey,
what can we do here?
And they're not going to give you that. It's going to be a discounted thing. So it just makes a lot of sense. I still think Kane should really look into it. I mean, like if I'm in Kane's position, I'm thinking – whatever I can do to get a contract done, I need to get it done because this is the time. I mean, he's not – his value is probably the highest it will ever be. I mean, I have a hard time. I had a hard time thinking he'd hit 300 again this year, and so now you're telling me he's going to hit 300 again, two more games in a row,
15 homers again, which I think he can do it, but that it's a question is significant.
And his age, and then you look at everybody he's going to be competing against in free agency. Like, man, take the Royals' best offer and just run with it. I just.
Well, and maybe the 2 years that they offered him was all they wanted to offer him. I mean, they're looking at Gordon is going to be in his mid-30s through his contract, and maybe they just do not want to pay two guys in their early to mid-30s at the same time in, eight-figure contracts or eight-figure salaries in some of the, in a period where they may have to be rebuilding or they may be trying to extend the window. I mean, maybe 2 years was as far as they wanted to go with Kane, and or maybe they wanted to maybe do three and he wanted six, and kind of works out that way. I'm not sure. I'd be interested in those negotiations because, this is Kane's one shot to get a big contract. This is, probably Escobar's one shot to get a big contract. It may be Moose's one shot to get a big contract. And they have to really see, hey, is this going to be there? I think Hosmer's getting a big contract. If he hits 300 this year or 25 homers and gets another gold glove, you might as well just, they can start clearancing the jerseys already because he's not going to stay in Kansas.
Well, not only that, then maybe the question then turns to, do you trade him? Do you trade him for that final year? Is that draft pick going to be valuable enough
versus what you get in a trade? Yeah, I don't know.
And you know that Gordon, you have Gordon under contract. Platooning him between left, first, and DH at that point, which would make sense because Morales would be gone. So you try to save his legs there a little bit. Starling would be back. Dyson and Orlando would still be in your system. I think there's an argument for it. I don't know if I'd do it. If we're talking about Hosmer being MVP level, like how do you trade him MVP? But you got to think he's definitely gone.
I think he'll be hitting the market. It'll be like 28. The math that people have always been doing is, Mark Teixeira's contract expires after 2017 as well. So there's the Yankees and that inviting porch in right field.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Hosmer, what I'm doing is I'm thinking, try to get one of those, 6-year kind of deals from, say the Yankees, have that opt-out, which is all the rage now, and get that in, 3 years so that he can go and, park about 30 or 40 homers in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And then hit the market at 31 and really cash in. And he's got Boris. So if somebody can pull that off, he's got the guy for it. I think Hosmer was probably destined to just play out his deal and that's it. So maybe it is something where after 2016, his best value is to get traded, which is, it's painful and it sucks. And people are going to feel a lot like the old Royals where you couldn't keep these guys if that happens. But it's going to be one of those cost of doing business things, I think. They're not going to re-sign him. I don't think they have a shot of extending him.
Well, it's a guaranteed nine-figure contract, right? There's no way he gets less than $100 million. And I don't know if the Royals could do that.
No, I don't think they can unless he's the only way they can do it if they're sure he's going to be good enough to reach it. And the only way they can be sure he's good enough is if he does it. And if he's done it, then everybody else knows he's done it. And his agent knows he's done it. So if he,
Yankees are going to know he did it.
Right.
And they're going to have a ton of money too. And we all know this ends with Machado, Gordon, Harper, Jose Fernandez and Matt Harvey going to the Yankees, and then they're just going to win all the World Series for 5 years.
It's going to be like when you post your MLB The Show lineup and people accuse you of cheating.
right.
And things
it's,
like that.
It's going to be sick what they do. It's, you know, I don't want to think about it. So, well, basically, this ends with just saying, like, let's just win the World Series for the next 2 years, and then everything will be fine. I'll be, whatever, you can go ahead and do your Yankee thing.
Yeah, and I think it would be painful in 2018 to break it all up, but man, if you do keep making the playoffs for two more years,
oh yeah,
then it's like, well, shoot, you know, it's that's the one of the best stretches in franchise history.
Oh, and one of the better stretches in baseball history. I mean, like, mm-hmm. man, I don't think it's out of the question for the Royals to
make another World Series run.
I mean, when you look at what the division's looking like, and when you look at what the rest of the American League looks like. I mean, yeah, some teams are they made some moves or whatever, but man, like, but the Royals are still really good, and they improved in areas where you're like, I was a little nervous. Oh no, they got Gordon back. They signed Soria. I was a little nervous. Right. Kennedy's pretty good, and then you kind of think about it, you look at what Yordano Ventura can bring to the table and how young he is and all this stuff, and you're like, you know. Man, it's hard to think that the Royals aren't going to be competitive in the next 2 years, especially when everybody's still moving into their prime, which is an insane thought.
If you get improvement from Hosmer and Moustakas and you have the rest of the same team around them, yeah, it's they won 95 last year, and they're pretty much bringing about the same team back. Like, there's not much to say, unless it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, the drive isn't the same, and things like that, but
or injuries. Yeah, or I mean, injuries. That can also mm-hmm. play into things. But like, yeah, I mean, if the Royals made four straight World Series, I think, you know, damn, maybe you just retire as a fan. Be like, it doesn't get better than that. So like, it's like, all right, that was a good time. I'm gonna tell folk stories now. Like, I don't know. It's just insane.
The big That'd blue insane. Machine. The guy we have not talked about is Wade Davis.
Oh yeah,
how
do you forget about him?
I can't imagine, like, the way the Royals kind of operate. It doesn't seem like they would be the type to try to retain a reliever going into his 30s like this. But it also didn't seem like they would sign Soria.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to figure if Wade Davis continues, there are no injuries, and he's, you know, they renew the warranty on him and make sure his parts are changed out. I got to think he's still going to be a dominant closer for the next 2 years. So, I mean, I don't know what that contract looks like, because it's a little different to me when, you know, when, like, Jonathan Papelbon signed his deal, and when Soriano a few years ago signed with, what was it, the Yankees? I don't, wherever he signed. I don't remember. He's been all over the place.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he's with the Tigers or the Rangers or something. Rangers, right? Or no, oh,
I'm
talking about
Rafael Soriano. Yeah.
Soriano, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember where he ended up signing. Nationals, Yankees. I don't. Anyway, not important. But like those kind of deals where you're talking $11, $12 million a year, but now baseball has kind of refocused itself to figure out, hey, if you've got an awesome bullpen, you can make an average starting rotation that much better. And, well, a lot of that
is lethal in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just that's the formula. And if you've got a Wade Davis, well, that's as good as you can get right now. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what that looks like on the market. David Robertson got, what, 3 years for 36 from the White Sox, and you know, other big contracts have popped up. But I don't know that the Royals would commit to that kind of thing for a guy who's going to throw maybe 60, 70 innings tops. As good as he can be, I just don't know that they would go that route, especially when every other pitching, you know, starting pitchers and trading for pitchers mm-hmm. is going to be carrying a premium, because it's just that's where teams end up spending money now. That's where the bigger contracts have been going. And so I don't know if it makes sense for them to be spending $12 to $15 million dollars a year on Wade Davis, even if he is fantastic. But at the same time, it's like, if he's still good, he's about the only guy who's worked that. So I don't know where they are, but you know that fits in especially with everybody else. There's only so much money they can go around, even if they do manage to find good deals that keep Escobar, Moustakas, and Kane. You know, are they going to have enough to pay Wade Davis what you know he likely is worth after two more dominant seasons? And I don't know that that's going to be a thing to happen. So I would put him in the same kind of group with Hosmer of like, I just don't see him here after 2017.
Right.
I just don't see it. The other three, I can see it. I can see how it works out. The other, you know, Hosmer and Davis, I don't see how it works. For the Royals, for how they're going to probably need to structure things. I mean, yeah, they'll have money, but that's not a Royals kind of move to me.
No, especially, I mean, look at the way that they built this bullpen in the first place. I mean, like, it's
kind of by accident.
Yeah, it was by accident. Yeah, but also, I mean, like, it's also like where the Royals have failed in developing starting pitching, they've more than exceeded in developing a bullpen. I mean, like, Holland's a homegrown guy, Herrera's a homegrown guy, Hochaver's a homegrown guy. Like virtually every piece that you look at about that bullpen has been somebody that they brought in through their system for the most part, with the exception of Wade Davis, which they got in that trade for now nobody. I don't know who we gave up now. So much of that. And then, like, man, think about last year's bullpen. I mean, like, Ryan Madsen, like, they just threw him off the scrap heap. Franklin Morales was a failed starter. Like, hey, yeah, why don't you just come over for, like, $5 and then be really good for us? You know what I mean? Like, there's something about their ability to scout and at least transition guys that are failing at the starting level in their minors and make them work as dominant relief pitchers. I mean, they have this Josh Stallmount guy. Or I can't say his last name. So
you got it.
Yeah, they're already talking about, like, yeah, he's, you know, low levels, he's going to work out, but he just walks too many guys. Oh, yeah, by the way, he gave 100 in relief. What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that's going to be the new Herrera. Okay, now I understand. Like they just have a bunch of those guys that what's why give that much money to Wade when you have so many just insane arms? I mean, at least for an inning or two in your system, right, that you just bring up, and put that money towards finally figuring out second base. You know, like, there's got to be a smarter way that you can spend that money. But as you said, too, I mean, like, you think that, and then they spend $27 million or whatever it was $24 million on Soria, as Holland insurance, and then, you know, they do continue to spend a bunch of, last year they re-upped on Wade Davis when everybody thought, oh, he would get traded or something. And they kept Holland, even though his arbitration number was incredibly high. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we're missing the boat, but it could just be like that's just part of what they have to do right now based on what's available to them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like 2 years from now? Maybe things change a little bit. So, I don't know. I think I'm with you. I just have a hard time spending that kind of cash on Wade when you have so many guys already in your system and you've already proven over and over. I mean, like Soria, we got that guy in a Rule 5 draft. Moore has constantly put together bullpens that were pretty good from like nothing.
His whole time. Like, even when they had, you know, Leo Nunez and Ramon Ramirez and stuff, like, those guys were just guys, and they became pretty significant bullpen guys.
Right. It's if he has that knack already, I mean, like, yeah, let him do that magic. Let him do that magic and spend the money where you don't have the magic, which is starting pitching. But it's... And what he's done, I think you, maybe it was you that tweeted out, just like, look at the guys that he signed to be starting pitchers for, from Gilmesh, that Vargas was really good till he got hurt. Volquez really good. Like all these guys are just like, what? Why are you signing this guy? Why are you getting this guy? Oh, okay.
Now they're
turns out you know what you're doing. Like it's yeah. I mean, even the Guthrie thing. I mean, like the value that he ended up bringing kept him a year too late, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was flipped for Jonathan Sanchez, of all people, who they got for nothing. So, like, it's incredible what he's been able to do with, like, evaluating starters once they've been in the majors for a while. Whatever that disconnect is in the minors, man, if they get that figured out, then you got a machine. But
Yeah. I think they're good at figuring out what things these guys can scrap and get rid of, and then where to refocus everything. Because with Hochaver, it was always like, you always saw reports that he tried to throw like six different pitches in a game. You know, he always had this cutter and this slider and this curve and this, you know, and they wanted him to simplify things. And when they finally put him in the bullpen, he was just throwing gas and throwing that little cutter slider thing, and every now and then throwing a curve, and it worked. And you get a guy like Herrera, who was always, he was just moved in there because of injury and size and things like that. But, you know, they're just like, yeah, just throw gas and throw that change up. And that's all you got to worry about. And I think they're really good at figuring out how to get those guys to just make those things work that work best for them. And with Wade Davis, you know, it's, hey, throw hard, throw your power curve and throw you know, that cutter and just go to town on people and just give max effort, and it works. And, you know, if they can continue to identify those things, then yeah, they're going to be able to take probably guys who are fringy and make them at least back of the bullpen guys and bump other guys up. But even if it does come down to where, hey, you know, Miguel Almonte doesn't cut it as a starter, Kyle Zimmer doesn't cut it as a starter. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, They've got the back of the bullpen that they can probably handle, on top of whoever else emerges. So, while you want to see those guys as starters, if it doesn't work out, at least you feel comfortable that this team and Dayton Moore and Dave Island know how to figure out how to make them into cyborgs, basically.
Right.
Again, it's Superman 3.
It is, and it speaks to the Royals' ability to understand the ballpark. I think they understand how to build their roster as it relates to where they play games better, probably than a lot of other people in baseball. It seems. I mean, like, what the Royals play like 100 games in spacious outfields between Kauffman and Detroit and Minnesota. I mean, right there. And then, you know, throw in your other games like in Oakland or whatever. They play like 110 games where you just have massive outfields. And then, like, yeah, you want to hit home runs. But, man, like, when you got all these huge outfields, it's harder to hit home runs. And so get the gap power in there, get the speed going, get guys who just hit a lot, give up a lot of lazy fly balls, and a whole bunch of fast guys to go track them down. Like, they seem to understand that so much better than what you see, like almost what Detroit's doing. Well, he's a name, and we know he's good, so here's all the money.
Yeah, let's go hammer it home. Boom.
Right. I'm not entirely sure what the point is of what. I don't like. You look at what, man. They had what Price and Cespedes there last year to go with basically what is now the same team, and now the only thing that's different is it's Zimmerman and Upton.
Probably downgrades.
Right, and you know, apparently they've made a couple moves to their bullpen, which maybe they should
still. Still, right. Bullpen's no good. It's still
right.
Not good.
Exactly. So I mean, what is it they're trying? Now you got a whole bunch of guys who can't play any events in your outfield. You got a whole bunch of aging guys. Yeah, I mean, you're starting pitching really outside of Zimmerman is aging and declining in value. Like I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me what they're doing. Whereas you see what the Royals are doing is like, oh, here's a guy in Kennedy who really, if you take away the home run issue, like you're feeling pretty good about him. Like give him a defense, give him a big ballpark. The guy can strike out guys for the most part. He's not bad at it. And then like suddenly he's going to be good. And everybody's like, what? How did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, yeah, you trade out the Padres defense for the Royals, and you give them Kauffman Stadium, and yeah, it's probably going to pay off for them.
Yeah, they understand the value of their place. And I suppose if you're the Royals, you know, when you know you have the value of Kane and how he plays defense, even if you have to move him to right field eventually, when you know the value of Escobar and how he plays defense, and really even Moose, I mean, like, he's not elite defensively, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to find a player better than Moose that isn't either A, going to have some sort of growing pains first, or B, is going to be affordable.
Right.
So that list of guys is tiny.
You've got Cuthbert, you've got Dozier, you've got who knows who could take over for him, and
right,
neither of those, you know, they're not probably better than Moose, especially not right away.
Right. And so you look at that and you're just kind of like, man, it makes sense to invest the money now. Keep him here, expand that window a little bit. I think if you're the Royals, you're overpaying if you do it now. Just because when you look at the outlook of who all the free agents are going to be in 2018. But you get that security and you get that ability to plan, and you get 4 years really to redevelop your minor leagues. I like this problem way more than can Mike Jacobs be the salvation.
Yeah. Are they going to keep this number three in MVP voting outfielder?
Yeah, yeah.
Versus right. What's Keeley Kaiahui doing?
No joke.
I don't know what he's doing. Japan, probably.
Or is that Johnny Gomes? I don't know.
He as well, probably.
Hey, there's no more Betancourt. There's no more Getz. There's none of this just like, what the hell is happening? It's a very good time.
It is.
And very good topics to be talking about compared to what we've had to deal with in the past.
All right, so we'll wrap this up, and I'll just mention the guy, and you can tell me, will he be on the team in 2018?
Oh, God.
Should he be on the team in 2018?
All right.
And you know, keeping in mind, you know, what the finances and everything have to be. So Lorenzo Cain.
I think he will. Yes to both. I think he should be on the team, assuming. Let's have the overall caveat, assuming the contract makes sense.
Right.
But, yeah, I think he should be on the team, and I think he will be on the team.
I think he should. I don't know if he will. We'll see. All right, Eric Hosmer.
Yeah. Ben, look 3 years in the future and know things.
Right.
Hosmer? Well, should he be on the team? Sure, because he's a really freaking good baseball player.
Yeah.
But is he going to be on the team? No, I just don't see how that works out.
I agree on that. Okay, Escobar.
Man, I gave that passionate response.
Right.
And I'm gonna be like, no, I know to both. I don't that's where I lean right now.
Yeah, I think they're just too ready to get to Mondesi, and I don't know if they're gonna experiment with both of them past 2017 in the middle infield.
Yeah.
So if they do end up at a point next year or in 2017 where you've got, like, let's say they bring up Bubba Starling, you got Gordon. I think Jeff brought this up last week, but I want to get your reaction too, because it's fun. You have Gordon, Kane, and Bubba Starling in the outfield, and you have Escobar and Mondesi in the middle infield, and then Moose and Hosmer on the corners. Where do you hit the ball?
Oh, and that Salvi guy.
And Sal, what do you do? What do you do after the sixth inning? You just just stop the game.
Oh, well, the answer is you try to hit as many home runs as you can, and that's what the Astros did, and it almost worked. I don't know what you do.
Another good problem to have. All right, Mike Moustakas.
I think he should be on the team, and I think of the two Boris guys, I think he's the most likely to actually be here.
Yeah, that sounds right. I've got to sell myself a little bit more. I think your point's good about the alternatives, because they're certainly not going to go try to sign Machado or Donaldson. And I'm not sure. I was impressed by Cuthbert. I thought he looked good. Like, he looked comfortable, like he belonged, but mm-hmm. he certainly isn't there yet. And
the bat, you got to think, will project a little bit better than Moose's in terms of consistency and just the well-roundedness of it.
Yeah. But he still has to do it. And it's, he's only 22. So, I mean, they've got years to figure it out. So, I'm not terribly worried. Things can happen, but
Cuthbert's only 22.
I think so, yeah.
He's been in the system for like 10 years, right? I feel like he's been around for forever.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 2010 when they signed him, I think.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. And then I was just going to go check on Baseball Reference and accidentally hit Ben Zobrist and felt really sad for
him. Why?
I didn't mean to. It just happened. Anyway, we'll wrap up with Wade Davis, who I don't think. I want to keep him. I want to keep this team together forever.
But at this age too.
Right. I want to keep this exact team together forever, but you can't figure it. And I don't think Davis can fit into that either.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, well, I think the only way it makes, I think it goes really back kind of to the Hosmer thing. Do you want him on your team? Absolutely. You want him on your team.
Yeah.
It's just a cost thing. I think if it's some sort of weird thing where they're able to get a reasonable contract, then all right. But even then, it's just, again, Dayton can build the bullpens. It's hard for me to see how it would make sense.
Yeah.
Financially.
Yeah. It'd be nice, but
hey. Pure skills.
Maybe they'll go clone him or something, or
clone four of them. Why not? Why stop at one?
These are all rookies. We were paying them the league minimum.
It sounds good.
For 3 years, and then in 3 years, clone them again, and then hopefully it's not a multiplicity thing, and they turn into Wade Davis starting pitcher, and that's what your third generation of Wade Davis clones look like.
Well, my understanding is in like multiplicity, like he didn't physically get worse; he just got mentally dumber, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he just, I don't care if you're dumb is being thrown. That's fine with me.
Maybe he'll be better. I don't know.
Yeah. But he's a cyborg, right? So it's just basically you're just building multiple machines.
You're just replicating.
You can't screw that up.
It's like a 3D printer. Cybernetics exactly. and Android things. All right, and I have to make a correction. Chester Cuthbert is 23 years old. He turned 23 in November.
Well, that changes everything.
It's a big difference. Yeah,
it really does. But man, like he's been in here like for like 6 or 7 years now, right? Like,
yeah, they signed him in 2011, maybe.
They signed him in 1864.
He was 17 when he made his rookie league debut. So,
he's been around for so long. So,
yeah, I've heard tons about him, and Jorge Bonifacio, who's also like 23,
right?
And it's just like
he's only 23. Good lord!
Like that, yeah, you still haven't seen some of these guys. So it's just
it's
crazy.
Man, I need to calm my stuff down on that. I guess maybe there's still hope for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. There's also, a reason why some of them haven't made it up sooner. But, I'm not gonna trash them all yet. I think they've got their place. And maybe it'll be in 2018. And maybe not. Maybe they'll be waiting on these guys to get out of the way still. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't need them all to be great. I just need them to be good.
Yeah, if they could be average. Yeah.
Good enough that you could trade for somebody who is great. Like it's just something. I just be good.
All right. So with that, I think we will get out of here. Ben, thank you for filling in.
Yeah, no problem.
We might throw some outtakes because there were some technical screw-ups completely that we may include at the end. But if we don't, then, you missed out. So sorry. So I want to thank Ben for his time. I always want to thank our wonderful sponsors, Kelly's Westport Inn. We're going to be trying to set up some kind of Tate to watch one of the Royal Spring training games and do like a tweet up out at Kelly's. Not sure on what day yet. The first broadcast game is on March 12th, but that's also the same day as the Westport 4 mile run, which is kind of a cluster. Not sure. And the Big 12 tournament will be going on there at the same time. So it's kind of like, maybe you want to find something where the game is central to everything and there's not a lot of other stuff. So that's probably not the day, but it'd probably be shortly after that.
But alcohol's still going to be there, right?
They will always have alcohol at Kelly's.
So, I mean, you can't go wrong completely.
And you can certainly go and check out the games at Kelly's at any time. We just may not always be there. Maybe that's better. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's more incentive to go.
I don't know if it's better.
I'll publish maybe it. I'll make an alert of like, I'm not at Kelly's. You should go to Kelly's.
Yeah, I put it in my calendar for Ben. Go destroy your liver. Go to Kelly's.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a great way to advertise Kelly's. Kelly's does not destroy your liver. Ben destroys his liver. Well, let's just, we'll clear that up.
It's your choice to do so.
Yeah,
but they've taken care of us for so long that they're like a family, kind of.
No, really awkward.
Yeah.
Family.
As much as a building can be your family.
Right.
Anyway, but we're gonna get out of here, and as always, give us a follow at KC Baseball Vault. If you have any questions or comments, just send us an email at KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com, and you can find us on Stitcher, on iTunes, on everything, and even Google Play Music here shortly. They're going to start launching podcasts as well, so if you prefer that over iTunes, hey, I can't say I blame you. I'm a team Android myself. So with that, again, want to thank Ben. Hopefully Jeff will be a father by the time you hear this so that his poor wife doesn't have to continue to be pregnant and carry
a human around all the time.
Right. And then next week we'll be talking with Hunter Samuels, who you've also heard on the formerly Royals podcast network of shows. But for now, for Ben and Jeff somewhere and Troy over in New Mexico, who started all this nonsense, I want to thank you for listening. And as always, thanks for listening. This has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can find us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KansasCityBaseballVault. If you want to email your thoughts or comments, send those to KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can also sign up and subscribe through iTunes, through Stitcher, or you can just go to RoyalsPodcast.com or KansasCityBaseballVault.com for any updates.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Limagitosis.
Yep.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl games. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week.
No Halftime, an all-new fantasy sports app that allows you to challenge friends with individual player matchups for real money. Imagine ODB versus Megatron, King James versus Melo. No Halftime is quick and easy and allows you to create challenges on any sport. No Halftime. The fantasy sports season never takes a break. Download the app at nohalftime.com.
Use promo code ROYALS at nohalftime.com to sign up, start playing, and start winning today.
Yay!
I never know how to end these because I never do that. It's always Jeff, and he always does it better. So it's like, all right, I'll just
end it with as many words as possible.
Right, right. Anytime the outro is 2 minutes long, you're
long goodbye.
Nailed it.
I know. Transitions are always hard.
They are. That's why I get paid the big bucks to do this.
Yeah, that's right.
The very big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It says I'm breaking up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, you know.
Is it a lot, or is it just like?
Well, I mean, there was a period there where I have no idea what you said, and I think what you probably said was very mean, and I'll get over it probably.
God, it wouldn't be our show if it wasn't. Did it just drop out entirely?
Yeah.
Great. How long?
I have no idea. Like a couple, maybe half a minute.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Well, we'll soldier on and see what happens. Where the hell was I anyway? Thankfully, we have a highly paid editor and producer that puts the show together.